With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hump day, and it's doubleheader day here on your home for the White Sox. They'll play two against the Kansas City Royals. They could have gotten last night's game in. Rain didn't really come down until about 9 o'clock. I don't know what they were thinking.
Someone hesitant to play baseball on the south side. I guess I can figure out why. Yeah, I can figure out why.
Because I can't say I blame them, Yurk. Maybe they figured an extra day to rest up Eloy Jimenez will have him hitting some
healthier.
Dongs.
Get him healthier, Carl.
Yeah, get him a little healthier. So White Sox coming up with the first of a straight doubleheader at 12:30. That's the pregame show with Connor McKnight. We'll be back tomorrow with a full 3-hour ride, but we are certainly truncated today, and then we're off to the Olive Garden with Bleck and Abdallah. The guys maybe will have a little bit of a short show later tonight. They're going to head back to the studio later today, and they'll see what time the second game ends. They might be on a little bit later, but who knows how long the two games take this afternoon. You can do the Jerry triple header today. You can do it, and I guess Tyler Rocky from the Waddle and Sylvie show is going to try to pull this off. Do the double header of baseball on the south side, then head over for the 8:30-ish, say maybe 8:40-ish tip on the west side between the Bulls and Hawks, and that'll be the final play-in game. I know you're riveted and thrilled.
Well, I mean, he's going to have some Adderall or something to keep him awake at some point, isn't he? I mean, there's got to be some pharmaceutical enhancements.
You know, the milkshake will give you a little extra pep, maybe.
I mean, 1-7, theoretically, for your baseball games.
Maybe get two milkshakes.
1-7. I'm tired of the propaganda on the milkshakes. I've had propaganda?
It.
It's propaganda. It's what it is.
It's trying to take away from the baseball team.
I'm tired of the propaganda.
It's the only reason worth going.
I will not give it its due. I don't care.
To see the other players?
No.
I think there
should be a great tailgate. Is what I'm calling for. Like on July 4th, if they're home, or July 9th, everybody go out and fill the parking lots and just
tailgate
and don't go to the game.
Okay,
just
it's not bad.
Tailgate.
It's not bad.
That's it. Tailgate, have a good dead time. When the game starts, they want to kick you out of the parking lots anyway. Just get back in your cars and vacate. Go, get out of there. Go home.
There's some money still going in the pockets, but it's better than everybody flocking inside.
It's money, but all the food and the drink is being taken care of outside, right. Not inside the park.
Right. It's not bad. That's not a bad protest.
I'm telling you, that's a great plan.
And what did you call it? We call it the Great Tailgate?
The Great Tailgate. Why not?
It's not a bad plan.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, that could be like 30 years from now. Could that be Disco Demolition? Nothing will ever rival Disco Demolition.
No, nothing can rival that.
Because it's so amazing.
That came from nowhere. Nobody expected that to turn violent. Nobody expected them to go on the field and start fires and do the silliness.
The Great Tailgate is kind of an interesting idea.
The Great Tailgate.
It's not like a one-inning protest. Like you literally get out there, fill the lots, tailgate, boom, boom, boom.
And the minute the game starts in the parking lot's going home.
Yeah, wow, that's not bad. I don't think I've ever thought of that.
Change the traffic pattern, and let's get out of Dodge.
A great tailgate. It's interesting. So, Carmen, you're here with you for about 30, and then we will lead you into White Sox baseball. I want to play some Bears stuff while we've got a minute or two. Why not? We are now just over a week away, Yurko. Thank goodness. A week away from the NFL draft. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about what the Bears might do at 9. I think it's the most fascinating thing. Certainly, after 1, things could get interesting with Jaden and Drake May and who's going up to potentially get J.J. McCarthy and what do the Bears do at 9. I think it's amongst most of us here, I feel like we all kind of agree if one of the big three receivers is available, and those big three would be Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze. There's really no feasible way Marvin Harrison is there for them at 9.
No.
But if Neighbors or Adunze is there, I think the general consensus amongst most of us is they should stay put and draft Adunze or Neighbors. Seems to be it, but there's a lot of traction right now from national and local writers, and they start to hear things. Some of it could just be classic old mis or disinformation, but you're starting to get this like mock draft, and you're starting to see these mock drafts where the Bears are moving out of 9. Again, this is locally, this is nationally. Peter Schrager's, we talked about his latest mock yesterday, was not what he thinks should happen, but kind of what he's hearing. And Brad Biggs wrote about the Bears moving out of nine, and I think Josh Schrock's latest mock had the Bears moving out of nine with one of those big three receivers still on the board. This is Mel Kiper Jr. with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, what the Bears should do at nine.
I think they have two options. I really do. I thought about this a lot with, you know, during the course of the weekend and talking to people in the league and friends and everybody that have an opinion, and they try to put it all together. But I think Romo Odunze, if he's there, you don't think about it, you just take them. And you have to be prepared for all the options. That's what these teams are doing these weeks, preparing for any possible scenario. And what do we do? If this happens, how do we deal with it? What's our decision going to be? You don't have 2 hours to think about it. So at the end of the day, if Romo Odunze happens to slide to nine, I'm taking him.
I'm with Mel. He's there, you take him. Neighbors, same thing. Keenan Allen ain't getting any younger, Yerk. Bayless Jones looks like a bust. Maybe they keep him around with the new kickoff rules. Maybe he's like kind of a specialist, little tricky kind of gadget guy that they can incorporate from time to time with his skill set of being speed in the offense. I don't know, but it's not relying on Bayless Jones to be any part of your consistent receiving corps. Yeah. Probably not going to happen. No. Tyler Scott will give another chance too, because it was a rookie year, but it was a very, my God, I wouldn't even say uneven. It was just mostly a bad rookie year, unfortunately. And maybe he can get better. You don't want to totally rule him out after just one year.
There were chances for him to make plays, and he didn't make them.
That's true.
That's it.
I can't even say uneven, Yerk. It was just a bad year. You didn't really see a flash or two, you know? So it was just a bad year. And with Keenan Allen not getting any younger, like, it seems to make a lot of sense. Stay there if one of the guys is available and take him. This is Albert Breer earlier today with Cap and Hoodie, his weekly visit. But take a listen. This is about the Bears looking into moving off of number nine.
One thing I've heard on the Bears over the last couple of weeks, I'd say, is that they're investigating moving up. They're also investigating moving down, and they may prefer to move down. Now, I think part of it's going to depend for them on what happens with the top receivers. Like, does Harrison make it to them? I don't think so. Does Neighbors make it to them? Probably not. Could either of those guys make it to them and be in a position where maybe they could make a short move up and get one of them? I certainly think that that's something that could be in play. But absent, you know, a circumstance like that, my feeling would be if Harrison and Harrison are gone, if Dallas Turner's gone, a lot of people expect Dallas Turner to go eighth to the Falcons. Could they trade down? And could they trade down and accumulate a little bit more draft capital? And could they accumulate a little more draft capital and get a pretty good offensive lineman, say, in the mid-teens somewhere? I think they probably could. And, I think they could potentially have a trade partner in Indianapolis, maybe somebody like that coming up. Maybe Jacksonville looking for an offensive skill player if one of those skill players falls into that range.
It's a lot. Like, you know, and these reporters hear so many different things. And again, a lot of it is strategically leaked because certain, like, the team might want a narrative pushed right now. You know, like, a lot of that could be what's going on. They could move up. They could move down. Yeah, no kidding. There's a lot of like the...
Your original gut feel. You know what I mean? Yeah, your original gut feel for whatever you had at nine after going through the paces and going through all the names that may or may not go in there. I think the simplest thing that we've thought of over time is if one of the three receivers is there, they take them. If not, then they trade down. That's what I've always thought.
Yeah, you have.
It hasn't changed.
You've been pretty consistent on that.
It's been consistent, and I think that's what they're going to end up doing. Then the decision is, do they go left tackle?
Mm-hmm.
Do they go pass rushing defensive end opposite of Montez Sweat, or athlete opposite Montez Sweat, that can get to the quarterback? That's the decision then you make, because at that point you're not taking a receiver. Now you might get a second-round pick, and with that second-round pick, you've got to decide, do you go receiver, or do you shore up the center position, which I still think hasn't been answered, even though you wasted a fifth-round pick there on Bates.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Gosh, it's hard. I mean, to think they just wasted a pick like that.
Yeah, well, to think that, yes.
I gave them a little bit
because
of a chance.
They obviously like something about it. They wasted a fourth-rounder on Keenan Allen. That almost dictates to you that they might not want to lean in the direction of taking a receiver.
I think that'd be short-sighted, though, especially if one of the big three are there.
Unless they think with the quarterback, Tyler Scott is going to be a normal player.
You think so? Like, they're willing to give him...
Unless they believe that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. when you hear Waddle talk about some of the deficiencies he saw, that's like that's not a quarterback thing. That's like a guy struggling to track the ball in the air.
Yep.
That's a receiver thing, not a quarterback thing.
Who has a problem of just putting his hands up and going getting the ball.
Right.
You don't need to jump. Put your hands up and go get the ball.
Yeah, that seems like a receiver thing, not a quarterback thing. So I worry about that. I think it'd be short-sighted. Well, we got Keenan Allen in here. We'll figure out how long he's going to be on our team. We don't really need to address receiver. No, I kind of think you probably should. I think you should. And I wouldn't outthink it. Like, I like the way Mel summed it up. I don't think you outthink it. If Adunze is there, if Neighbors is there, certainly. I don't anticipate Harrison or Neighbors being there. We'll find out a week from tomorrow. But one of those guys there, I don't think you outthink it. Another mock draft I saw today was, I think it was Jason Leisure at the Sun-Times, had the Bears still passing on Adunze with him being there. And he goes a couple of spots later, and he had them taking Olufoshinu as the second tackle off the board after Joe Alt. Everybody seems to think Joe Alt is definitely going to the Tennessee Titans. That's been a big one. So he's got him taking Olufoshinu out of Penn State with that second first-round pick and still bypassing the opportunity to draft someone like Rome Odunze, whom I love a whole heck of a lot. So we'll see. We got maybe a little time for phone calls here. 312-332-3776. If you've got thoughts on the draft, as we inch closer and closer, just a week away. Baseball coming up at the bottom of the hour. Connor McKnight's got your pregame for White Sox and Royals, and it is a straight doubleheader today. And I know it looks a little ominous right now, but we've been told by Tracy Butler and the fine folks in the meteorology department, no rain, nothing's going to derail the festivities on the south side today. Even though, like I said, it looks like it might rain any minute down here at Staten Lake, but they're going to get both games in. And we'll have them for you. We've got a four-pack of tickets for Saturday's Wolves game. You want to give these away now? What do you think?
Why not? Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we have a four-pack tomorrow, too. Is that what you said, Adam? Yeah,
Wolves,
good.
Huh?
So the Wolves, this is it. I think this is the home stretch of the regular season for the Wolves at Allstate. It all starts at Allstate Arena on Saturday at 7 with the Salute to Military Families Night presented by Kia. No better way to finish the regular season than on home ice. Great rivalry game, the Rockford Ice Hogs, for a family Sunday. So that's this fun weekend. You can buy tickets now online at ChicagoWolves.com. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves. If you can use a four-pack for Saturday night's game, and who couldn't? Great experience over at the Wolves games. Caller 10. You win right now. Nice and simple. Nice and tidy. Caller 10. 312-332-3776. You just scored some Wolves tickets. It's Carmen in York. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Okay, let's see if Yurko has taken my advice to heart over the years. What's the best way to attack NFL win totals? If you're going to bet NFL win totals, you're going to look at strength of schedule and of an opponent. What's the best way to do that? If you start looking at the Bears and be like, I wonder, can they get to eight? What's their strength of schedule look?
They got a bad, their strength of schedule is weak, right?
It is, but what's the best way to do that? Not going off last year's records, it's going off of the projected win totals from Vegas.
Projected win totals from Vegas, yeah.
So by that measure, the easiest schedule in 2024 belongs to the Atlanta Falcons. The hardest schedule in 2024 belongs to, Tracy Butler's not going to be happy, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, this is based on the Vegas projected win totals for all these teams' opponents. It's a better way to start handicapping this. The Bears have the third easiest schedule based off of opponents' win totals.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's Falcons, Chargers, Bears, Jets, Saints with the easiest five.
Which is why you'd feel like you'd want to bet the over this year.
Which is exactly right. And it's also why the over is the favorite juice to about minus 130, minus 135, and maybe even going to trend upwards as we go further and further into the offseason after Caleb Williams officially gets here and things like that. And there could be some more excitement. And Bears always get a lot of action anyway.
What's Pittsburgh's total?
Pittsburgh's total, Yurk, is, I believe, 8.5. It is 8.5, yes.
And they've got that juice toward the under?
They've got a juice still to the over, minus 120 over. How about that?
So what is it, even money then for?
I don't have it, but I'd guess, or something close to that.
Why is there a $20 VIG there? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why it is now and like why the Bears are minus 130 is because there's definitely been interest on the Bears winning at least 9 games. That's for damn sure. And we'll see how much they juice that before they just move the total another half point and, like, say, go to Bears minus 9. There's going to be a lot of love for Bears to win 9 or 10 games. Let's face it. They get a lot of action anyway because they're a popular team.
Absolutely.
And, like, people are going to start buying into the hype. Feels like a lot of the...
I'm buying into the hype.
You, are you?
Yeah. I'm buying the hype for the Bears. Why wouldn't I? I saw them win 7 games last year with the possibility of having 10, losing double-digit leads going into that thing. You're going to have a new quarterback. You've got better receivers. You're going to have a better offensive line. You've got young guys coming back with a year under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything's coming up roses.
I feel better, too.
I've seen the schedule. The schedule is not daunting by any stretch.
The slate of opponents.
And you still got to have the Giant Slayer. It's not the New York Giants. It's the Green Bay Packers.
Well.
You've got to be able to attack the Green Bay Packers.
Can they finally this year?
I hope so.
10 straight losses?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody to join me at my draft party on Thursday, April 25th.
That's a great segue.
In the game room at the Chicago Athletic Association, 12 South Michigan Avenue, sponsored by Elijah Craig Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We're going to have fun that day, Carm.
Oh, God.
We're sticking around. First, 9th pick. We're going to be there. They trade down to 15. I'm still going to stick around.
They trade down to 23.
They trade. Hasta la bye bye. That's where you're going to see.
They can't convince you? Like, you're sticking around for one more.
There's one way to convince me. And that hasn't been offered.
It's cold hard cash.
It's king.
Cash is king.
But I'll be there for
you'll be
6:30, 8:30. We're gonna have a ball.
That's a great place.
Or 7 to 9, one of the two.
For you guys to hang and enjoy the draft and see how it unfolds.
When does the draft start? Is it 7 o'clock on Thursday?
Don't quote me. It's 6:30 or 7. I don't know. It might be 7 our time, but I don't know for sure.
I'm going to look it up. We got Champions League football here today, too,
Yurko, it
you
is,
remember.
Yurko, I know, yes. It is 10 straight losses against the Packers.
Yeah, I know what it is.
10 straight losses.
Trust me. Oh, I dominated Christ. The Bears when I was with the Green Bay Packers.
I know.
Dominated them.
Yurko.
We used to tally 2 victories every time we did at the beginning of the year. The 2 easy ones were against Dave Wannstedt and the Bears. Now, some of those games are close, but we still beat them.
December 2018, Yurko. That's the last win against the Packers. 2018.
It's a long time ago. Pre-COVID, Carm.
It's pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID.
By like a shot, you know? About a year and a half-ish. It's just terrible. 10 straight. That's got to end this year, my God. Are you excited for Champions League? Yesterday, PSG advanced, and you guys told me, hold on.
Borussia Dortmund
advanced.
Beat Atletico Madrid.
Beat Atletico. So they're into the semis. And today, it's leg two, and it's Man
City. It's Man City against Real Madrid. They tied 3-3, and it's Arsenal-Bayern Munich. And that was a 2-2 tie last week.
Arsenal and Bayern Munich.
So it'll be interesting stuff happening today.
So...
Finals are June 1st at Wembley Stadium. The winners here will go to the semifinals. And then 2 out of those 4 teams are going to make it.
And it's on an aggregate. Away goals don't count like these, but it's still
on
aggregate.
They used to. Yeah, it's still on aggregate. So if like it's 3-3 and it finishes 2-2, they go to extra time.
And then if there's no extra time,
in 30 minutes extra time, they'll go penalty.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it could be pretty exciting.
Penals. It could be a very exciting day. Yesterday's games were great.
Were they?
A red card in Barcelona in 29th minute sunk Barcelona yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're out.
They're gone. They're out. No trophy for Barcelona this year. They won't win the league title, and they're not going to win the Champions League.
Did you stay up for...
They may have won Super Copa or Copa del Rey or something like that, but who cares?
I was going to ask you.
Did I stay up for what?
It's a silly question.
Cubs?
Yeah.
Cubs. Did I stay up for the Cubs? No, but I did see Ian Happ hit a grand slam. First home run of the year.
Your thunderstick. Did some thunderstick.
I also know that the Cubs lost 12-11.
They did.
It's Drew Smiley who gave up some runs again.
Well, and then Alzolay gave up a home run in the 9th.
Can you believe that?
I don't know. It wasn't a terrible pitch, but that's 3 blown saves already?
Yes. Yes. It's called 3 blown saves. Didn't this guy come in to control the bullpen? Didn't this guy come in because
it hasn't
he
looked
really
good so
knew
far.
How to control
Luke Little
the bullpen?
Came in and it wasn't so pretty, but, you know.
I blame the players. The players come in. They've got to do their jobs. If the players don't do their jobs, then guess what? Everybody looks like a fool.
Did you stay up for the end of Kings Warriors? I actually did fall
Kings
asleep
Warriors.
Because it was a blowout. Yeah, Kings. Yeah, did you? That's the. Yeah.
West Coast? Kings
yeah.
Warriors?
Yeah. Do you know the Warriors season is now over? Are you affected? I don't think so. The Warriors are done. That's it. Kings.
They're not in the play-in game.
No, well, they were, but because they as the 9-10 loser,
yeah,
that's
you're
it.
Done. You're done.
If you're in 7 or 8, you have a shot at redemption. So that's like the Pelicans have another shot. They play the Kings.
What will I do without the pontificating Steve Kerr in the playoffs? Wow, I don't know what I'll do.
Why you got to take a shot at Steve
Kerr? Doesn't make a difference. Don't worry about it. How will I survive? I think I will.
You think you'll survive?
As long as my guy Jokic and Doncic are in the playoffs, I think I'll be fine.
So it's now a rematch in the first round of the Western Conference Finals a year ago, which Yurko and I have always said, oddly for a sweep, was a fantastic series. It's going to be the Lakers and the Nuggets in the first round. It was a great series.
2-7.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how you guys be like, what do you got? A great series. They got swept. But it was great. Like, every game in the fourth quarter was a game. And like,
it's competitive.
It was awesome. And it's competitive. So I'm looking forward to that.
Did you every possession counted as it was happening.
Yeah. Did you see what happened to Zion at the end of that game? Like, the Pels are still alive and they have a shot. Zion had 40 last
night. Is Zion still alive?
Zion had 40, dude.
Okay.
Got hurt with 5 minutes left. Go figure.
Oh, no.
Right as they had made the comeback, they tied the game. Zion had 40.
Pull an oblique. What happened?
Shams Charania, it's only been described by the team as leg soreness, which give me a break at this point. Leg soreness. Zion missed the last 5 minutes or 4.5 minutes of a game in which he was dominating because of leg soreness.
He was sore.
Shams Charania, I believe, is the one who's reporting it is some form of hamstring injury.
Oh, boy.
And they don't know if he'll be ready to go tomorrow night. And
is it high or low?
I don't know, Yerk. Isn't that a kick in the balls? Like and it's so like sort of apropos considering Zion's career. He was dominating. He had 40. And they were back in the game. Stunned. They had it tied. And then he's out and the Lakers hold on
to
win.
Absolutely stunned. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do now.
That sucks.
If I'm a New Orleans fan, I mean, what do you do? I think their life just goes on. They go get themselves some etouffee and some bufalata.
I feel like...
And some crawfish. I don't think they skip a beat.
I feel like basketball down there is kind of like baseball in Tampa.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like,
who cares?
You know?
Yeah.
It's too bad in Tampa, too, because they've got such a unique organization that actually has been competitive and fun, and they win a lot.
I'm sure there's sports fans down in the New Orleans area that enjoy that basketball team.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it. I think
it's 85, 90 degrees down there.
I think they're Saints fans, and then there's people who just do other things in New Orleans, right?
Right, exactly.
Like, it's New Orleans. Living in one of the most fun places there is.
Let's have a little fun. Let's go listen to some music.
But it was tough to see last
night.
Even
their funerals are fun.
It's incredible.
Even their funerals are fun, Carm.
They're dancing in the street. It's incredible.
Yeah.
There's nothing like New Orleans.
They got a lot of horns,
You know my affinity for it.
Yes.
There's nothing like it.
Brass sound going down the street. Somebody died.
Right. There's either a wedding or somebody died.
Yeah.
Right?
Good times.
But it was kind of sad to watch the end of that last night where, like, Zion's having this great game and then all of a sudden he's just off the floor and he landed funny, non-contact, and all of a sudden you could tell he was upset. Something happened.
Yeah. He felt the pop.
I don't know. Leg soreness. I mean, come on. You're dominating. You're not.
Maybe he felt
this isn't Eloy Jimenez. I mean, sore legs. I mean, you're not, you're going back out. But it's just, in a way, cruel. I don't want to say it's ironic because it's exactly what you'd expect, unfortunately.
Imagine if Tony La Russa coached the New Orleans Pelicans. Don't jump,
don't
guys.
Run. Don't run.
Don't jump.
Aloy, don't jump.
Whatever you guys do.
Aloy still doesn't know, if he can run or not. Like, he's still, so can you run?
I'm just trying to figure out whether he can or not. I think he likes the option of not running. If he thinks he's not going to get
just
on,
jog.
Say in a hard liner of the right field, he wants the option of saying, you know what, they're going to get me.
Just jog.
Speaking of Zion, believe that he last played at Duke in 2019?
No, Chris. No.
Doesn't it feel like just yesterday he was the biggest story in sports?
Yes. And what's kind of sad is that it hasn't continued the way we all thought. And it's an interesting study in Zion because he really is good. He can really play. Maybe there's a few deficiencies. When you look at a guy his size with his athleticism, you do wonder, how do you only average 6 rebounds a game? Like, that's always been curious to me. Like, Steve Francis averaged 6 rebounds a game, for crying out. Like, what are you doing? I'm not saying he's perfect, but he's fun. When he's engaged and he's healthy, he's a fun player to watch. Like, he's been great the last month. And New Orleans had really played well, and he lost a bunch of weight. After kind of, starting the season where they were taking shots at, again, his commitment. And it's kind of sad. And it's 5 years, Chris. And it hasn't been able to materialize down there. They got a weird franchise anyway, you know, from the eight. It's just weird. I don't know.
The Olive Garden. Come on, Carm.
It was sad
Let's
to see
get
last
some
night.
Food.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, let's go. Talked about
We're
it,
off to the Olive Garden.
Garden, man.
We're going to have tomorrow. Fun. Double dip of baseball coming up with Landon, DJ, and Connor. Pregame for game one right around the corner. Straight doubleheader. And one of the young prospects making his debut here for the White Sox. So enjoy the rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow. White Sox baseball is next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.